Well, welcome back to HealthLink On Air, produced each week by Upstate Medical University, making the academic difference in healthcare in the Central New York community. And this is your host, Tricia Torrey, every patient's advocate. Dr. Timothy Damron joins me in the studio this morning. Good morning, Dr. Damron.
Good morning.
And welcome. And I want to share with our audience this morning that you and I have something in common that, thankfully, there aren't a lot of other people in this world that have in common. Each of us was diagnosed with cancer, and neither one of us really had it.
That's correct.
And you have taken your experience and you've moved it into a career for yourself, as I have done. But tell me, what is it you do for a living, and how did your early experience affect that?
So what I do is orthopedic oncology. Mm-hmm. I deal with bone and soft tissue tumors. And I take care of patients anywhere from very small patients, their kids, to adults in their later years.
So orthopedic oncology, and just to repeat what you just said, that's orthopedics, bones, and oncology, cancer. So tell us about your early experience that sent you in that direction.
So when I was in high school, I had some pain in my hip, and it would affect me because I couldn't play football, and that really upset me. So eventually I was taken to a physician and then referred to another physician, eventually saw an orthopedic surgeon, and the orthopedic surgeon got an x-ray and told my parents that, unfortunately, your son has cancer, bone cancer.
And as your, on behalf of your parents, I can tell you they were mortified and upset.
I'm sure they were, and we've talked about this many times. My dad, to his credit, at that time, it was not really widely accepted to request a second opinion, and mm-hmm. my dad asked for a second opinion, and the response of the orthopedic surgeon at that time was, that's fine, but you know, you just have to face the fact that your son has cancer and he needs to have his leg amputated.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So, and it would have meant basically my entire hindquarter, half of my pelvis and the entire limb.
Oh my gosh.
So it would have been a devastating operation. So we got a second opinion at the Mayo Clinic, and we saw Dr. Doug Pritchard and Dr. Frank Sim, and fortunately, they looked at the x-rays and made a completely different diagnosis.
Wow.
And that was of a benign avulsion fracture off of the pelvis. And they can look very similar. And we, you know, I've seen these sorts of patients since I've started orthopedic oncology. And it happens. It's a common trap that some physicians fall into, where you misdiagnose a fracture for a sarcoma. But fortunately, I, instead of getting my leg taken off, I just had 6 weeks on crutches, and then I played the football season the next year. So.
And here you are all these late years later, never having had any treatment for cancer,
right.
And you're doing just fine.
And the other interesting thing is I ended up doing part of my training with the two guys that I saw when I was a senior in high school.
Which I find just absolutely fascinating. And as it turns out, in doing a little bit of research ahead of time, your specialty of orthopedic oncology is very rare. There aren't too many of you out there, are there?
There are only about 120 to 130 people that do this full-time in the United States. And I know all of those people pretty well.
You do?
Well. Yes.
Well, I'm sure you do. And here you are in Central New York helping all kinds of people who have bone cancer problems. So let's talk about who some of those people are. When they come to you, they don't come to you directly, typically, do they? They pretty much have an idea that they may have some kind of bone cancer?
Yeah, they've often seen at least a couple of physicians. Usually they're seen by their primary care physician, and then they get referred to their local orthopedic surgeon. And the local orthopedic surgeons are the ones that recognize that there's a problem that they don't want to handle and that requires some additional expertise. And so the ones all the way up to the Canadian border, over to Rochester, and then down to New York City, and then even northern Pennsylvania typically refer to this area.
They are. And tell me what happens. They come to you, and you said earlier that some of them are younger, their children, and some of them are older. They're coming to you with these bone cancers. What kinds of cancers are these?
Well, the general term is sarcoma.
Mm-hmm. And what does that mean?
It's a malignant tumor of bone or soft tissue.
Okay.
Some patients come in with other types of cancers that spread to bone, and that's typically in the older patients. And those are the carcinomas, like breast carcinoma or prostate carcinoma. Some of the more common cancers overall, and those have a predilection to spread to the bone, so we see those as well. Lymphoma can affect the bone.
Mm-hmm.
So we see a wide spectrum of cancers that involve the bone. But when it's in kids, it's usually sarcomas.
It is. Yeah. So they come to you, and what kinds of treatment can you provide to them?
Well, I don't work in isolation. I work with a big team.
Okay.
And you have to do orthopedic oncology, you have to be in a center where you've got a big team that you can work with. And so I work with pathologists, radiologists, pediatric oncologists, adult medical oncologists, radiation oncologists, chest surgeons, and vascular surgeons, you name it. And you really need that full support to do the sort of complex things that we do. But in terms of what I do as an orthopedic oncologist is to see patients, evaluate them, and try to make the diagnosis of exactly what they have from a musculoskeletal perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And then if that is a tumor that requires someone else's expertise that I work with, then we get those people involved.
All right.
For instance,
soft
tissue sarcomas often require, if they're in an adult, often require the involvement of both the radiation oncologist and the medical oncologist, and we work as a team. I would do the surgery.
Mm-hmm.
I would coordinate the care, and then the radiation oncologist would potentially give the radiation, and the medical oncologist, if they require chemotherapy, would give the chemotherapy. If it's a bone sarcoma, it's similar. In kids, we work with the pediatric oncologist,
mm-hmm.
and they'll administer the chemotherapy. I'll do the surgery, and we work together as a team.
Well, I love that whole team approach. I also find it fascinating that when I think of orthopedics, I think more in terms of, I think you said it earlier, carpenters and construction. When I think of oncology, I think more in terms of maybe it would be right and left brained kind of work. They're very different approaches. You must be able to approach from all different kinds of directions to do your diagnosing to begin with.
Well, I don't think my partners would like it if I called them all carpenters, and they're certainly not.
Of course
not. There's cerebral aspects to all parts of orthopedics, but the thing I like about orthopedic oncology and what I think attracted me to it when I was in medical school is that I liked the unknowns that you're presented with.
Mm-hmm.
So a patient comes in, and you don't know what they have. It's similar to a patient that comes into an internal medicine practice with symptoms, and you don't know exactly what they have. And so you have to listen to the patient, you have to examine them, you have to do tests that are appropriate, and come up with a diagnosis, and often it requires a biopsy. So, it requires some diagnostic skills, and then the big plus is then you get to do some surgery that's very interesting, and that often helps the patients.
Mm-hmm. So now we've treated these people with some surgery, perhaps some radiation, perhaps some oncology as well. Is this something that's going to help them live for a long time? Are these people who are now going to come to you for the rest of their lives, or do you cure them and they get to walk away?
It depends on what exactly the problem is. Of course, the benign conditions, we can usually follow for a relatively short period of time, and those patients do pretty well.
Because not all the tumors then are cancerous?
No. In fact, it's really the tip of the iceberg that are malignant when we're talking about bone
really?
And soft tissue tumors.
Let's make sure we make that point then. I think that's important.
Yeah. For every soft tissue sarcoma, there are probably 100 benign soft tissue tumors
Aha.
out there. So we have to sort of weed through those. But those require some treatment as well. So,
mm-hmm.
It's important that people recognize that. And not every lump or bump is going to be a malignancy. It's usually the larger ones and the deeper ones that are more concerning in terms of soft tissue masses.
Mm-hmm.
And in terms of bone lesions, we see an awful lot of benign bone lesions in kids that are picked up incidentally in the emergency room.
Aha.
And some of those patients get referred in, unfortunately, having been told by a physician that doesn't necessarily see these very frequently, that this could be a cancer.
And then, of course, they all panic and they're coming to see you. At least you get to deliver some good news to them then.
Yeah, I tell those patients they're cured when they leave the office.
And now they have all kinds of wonderful thoughts about you. Well, we only have a few more minutes. Let's talk quickly. You're a physician scientist as well. You're doing some research.
Yes, I am. And all the research I do really stems from the problems that I see in the office. And we start to, as you're working as a clinician, you see these problems over and over, and you look in the literature, and you try to figure out what we can offer them that's better. And in a lot of areas, particularly in what I do, because these tumors are so rare, there hasn't been a lot of research, good research done. And so there's a lot of room for improvement. And so some of the problems that I've gotten involved in are looking at the complications of treatments that we give the patients, such as radiation.
Mm-hmm.
We give radiation to kids to try to cure their cancers when they're young, and the radiation has damaging effects on the growth plate. and also on bone and the bone integrity. And we've done a fair amount of research looking at ways to try to alleviate that without protecting the tumors, because the tumor treatment, of course, is the most important thing.
So you're trying to get rid of the tumor, but keep the bone intact.
Exactly.
Mm. And so you're working on these. This is one project you're working on?
Well, that encompasses a pretty broad array of things.
And it must take a long time, too, because you have to be following, especially children, you have to follow for a long time.
Well, some of the research we do is clinically based, and some of the research we do goes back to the lab and looks at basic, you know, aspects of these clinical problems and tries to figure out, in that manner, how better to treat the patients.
Fascinating. I am so glad you came by this morning, Dr. Timothy Damron. You're an orthopedic oncologist, which I think we in Central New York need to understand how lucky we are to have you here, how lucky patients in this area are to have you here. And I appreciate meeting you because it's so nice to meet someone else who got some good news, too. Thanks so much for coming by this morning.
Thank you.
Listeners, we do need to take a break. We'll be back in just a few moments. Please stay with us. This is Upstate Medical University's HealthLink on Air on 570 WSYR.